Hello, John.
Hi, Drew.
Every year, hundreds of people strive to make the best podcast, maybe even thousands.
That's true, and there are more people making podcasts every year.
That's true. But only a select few will make podcasts that win the coveted Best Podcast of the Year award. Pause.
The nominees for this year's award are... I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Ourcive.
Our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
I feel like we need to open with a musical number.
I know. I'm just thinking, like, we need some sort of swelling orchestric piece.
Yeah. Or we need to be, like, backstage, like, running to the stage, talking about how we're not going to do a musical number.
Oh, yeah.
And
but then we do?
Yeah, and then it turns into one. Yeah.
Who did that?
Everybody. That's the thing. There are so many... things that I think are sort of conventions of the award show presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And those conventions, I feel like, have only been around for like 20 minutes. But like, if you don't have one, yeah. they're going to call your ass out on the Twitters.
Yeah.
They're going to call you out and the Entertainment Weekly, they're going to make fun of you for 11 months. And yeah. So you got it. What? Here's the thing. I don't like many award shows, but I also don't envy the people who are willing to put themselves out there and do them, because
yeah,
that's a failing prospect right there.
Cannot
I mean,
win.
You cannot win. Now, that said, people do win.
Yeah.
They come out of it okay.
Yeah.
But you're not going to. Whoever you are listening to this 11,000 years from now, don't even think about having an award show.
No.
Don't take it on. Don't take on that responsibility, because it's not going to work out for you.
I was trying to think about why I have an inherent distaste for award shows. Like, what was it that I really don't like? And I don't mind that people get awarded for accomplishments in their field.
That's good.
Here's what I determine I don't like. People, well, actors, musicians, directors, these people are heralded year-round. Mm-hmm. Year-round. The praises are sung, or their shortcomings derided.
Mm-hmm.
We are never...
Their accomplishments are well-documented.
Yeah. Every day, someone is proclaimed the best director,
mm-hmm.
the best band. Someone's
fantastic kazooist.
Yeah. Someone's heralded it as the, ooh, this is the new shining star of whatever.
Yeah.
Do we really need 15 hours of television dedicated to them celebrating themselves?
Do we need it?
No.
No. Do they need it? Yes.
But here's the thing. The one thing it does afford is the recognition of those who don't get recognition year-round, which is like, you know, sound designers or
mm-hmm.
Special effects houses.
Sure.
Or writers, even, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The
Yeah, we have award shows
design.
For actors. You know, like this is the thing. Before we even go down that road,
yeah.
Like you're basically, when you say award shows,
yeah,
you're essentially talking about movies, television, and the recording industry. That's it.
Pretty much.
That's basically it. Now, that's not saying that there aren't awards presentations for other
ceremonies.
Yeah. And then some of them are televised, even. Some of them are actual shows.
Yeah. There's like the technical Oscars or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's been broadcast online once.
Maybe. But the fact that we're uncertain about that, I think, says a lot about who we're really talking about when we talk about these award shows.
Yeah.
You know, that you can have the most successful novel, like you can write and publish a ridiculously popular novel.
Yeah.
And the best you can hope for as far as award show recognition is to maybe be included as like a joke or
oh, at an award show?
Yeah, at a different award for a completely different industry. Or to have it adapted. Yeah.
Best adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's a very and again that it's that divide. You know, I feel like even celebrated writers are not afforded, and they probably don't want it, but they're not afforded the sort of attention in regular day-to-day press that musicians and movie people are.
You have to be careful. I will descend into vitriol.
I can see you just sort of seething over there. You're on the brink now. Yeah. And here I'm gonna prod you and push you over that brink.
I am.
I used to really dig award shows.
So did I, yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm sure that if I went back and watched shows that I remember fondly, I'm sure I would probably dislike them now. But
award
it used
shows?
To be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is that the broader your awareness gets of any kind, any medium or any piece of culture, mm-hmm. the less the less impressed you're going to be with that's not even fair. I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
I think the broader your understanding gets of any kind of quality-based mm-hmm. Appraisal, you know, the broader you get, the harder it is to say that one thing is better than another. That's one factor that makes it hard.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for me to watch a show about movies where somebody at the end of the night says, this has been voted the best movie of the year. That is such a nebulous term.
Yeah.
You know, best by what standards?
Yeah.
You know, okay, so they say artistic integrity or, you know, further. I mean, there is some sort of definition that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has for their best picture category.
They're the worst.
But it's such
worst of the bunch.
And it changes, you know? It's like the criteria does not seem to apply consistently from one year to the next. And the worst part of that, you can almost accept that. I can almost accept that because that's human nature, you know? But the worst part of it is that people not only accept that, but embrace that in supporting these shows, you know? Okay. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say as a broad statement of complaint against award shows. That's all I'm gonna say anyway.
What frustrates me in this idea of best movie
mm-hmm.
is that for whatever reason, you can't have, like, a comedy can't be a best movie.
Mm.
It's always dramas.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, well, I think there have been some Golden Globes where
that's different.
A comedy. Yeah.
That's different. I'm talking Oscars here.
Okay.
The worst offender in my book.
I don't know. I don't know.
The only reason that I'm
hesitating to agree with you on that is because I think theirs is a playing field that is considered, it's sort of walled off, right? Like, they're only going to look at a certain kind of movie.
But that's what frustrates me.
Well, but I guess I should say any of the big award shows have parameters, right?
Sure.
But I feel like the parameters for the Oscars are maybe more defined than any of them. So in a way, I feel like when you go into it, you're accepting that there is this division. And the number of entries that can be considered to that is very finite, more finite than it is for other award shows. That's the only thing, the only concession I'll make there, which is why I think like the Grammys, when you're talking about all of recorded music, you know, and not even all of recorded music, but all of, let's just say studio-based music, you know, there are so many albums put out by the big record, you know, labels. So you have such a wide field to choose from. There are only so many movies made by a studio system, you know? So in a way,
I feel like that's what I'm saying.
So you're saying that it's not necessarily their assessment of the best.
It's that there are some genres of film that aren't even considered, that if you were to submit it, right,
mm-hmm.
for consideration, would be laughed at.
Yeah.
This can't be the best film.
Yeah.
And like, to me, it's like, no, it's like the best film is what was the most entertaining, what struck a chord with people the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I realize that this is absurd what I'm about to say, but take like Attack the Block.
Okay.
That was an exceptional movie.
Okay.
And it is one that I would have, if I'm arranging like best movies of a year,
mm-hmm.
I would put that up there. I'd say this is up for consideration for best movie.
And we don't know that it wasn't submitted for consideration. But.
And even if it was, it would never get in, ever. Because I perceive that there is an immediate assessment of films that if it's not a drama or a big budget thing, then it's not serious. Do you know what I mean? That it's not film.
I think that, by and large, I agree with you, but there have been enough instances where public opinion has persuaded them to consider they will throw them a bone.
That's the sad part, which is worse.
Yeah. That pisses me off even more because it's a conciliatory, it's a concession. It's just like, you know, well, you and I both know this is like, I'm Oscar and I'm talking to Attack the Block. It's like, you and I both know that you are not going to win this award. But because you're popular enough, we're going to put you in the ceremony so that people who are hoping for you to win will watch the ceremony and we'll get more advertising money.
You'll be among the now 20 nominees that we put in for each category.
And that is, and it has happened that popular movies, broadly popular movies that were questionable in their quality, where their quality was questioned pretty outright by a lot of the public.
Yeah.
Titanic. I'll throw that out there as an example. speaking, not necessarily for myself, but that's a movie that a lot of critics thought was not deserving of being nominated.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential uproar. This is the thing. It's what are they going to be held accountable for afterwards?
Nothing.
You know. So but they would have been.
Why?
If they had not acknowledged Titanic with at least a nomination.
Yeah.
That would not have worked out for them.
Okay.
They would not have worked out. That would have, I mean, it would have worked out in as much as the controversy would have generated ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is,
Oscar snub.
All of the other people then.
Yeah.
You're marginalizing all of the other movies.
Yeah.
That would have been included in that. I don't even remember what else was nominated. Maybe LA Confidential.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of movies, and only five. There were five Best Picture nominees that year. So that's four movies, potentially good movies, that would have been completely forgotten about, completely abandoned, because it would have been all about the controversy over Titanic.
Fair enough.
You know? So at least those other movies, by being nominated, by the show going forward as it did, at least you had the consolation that there are more people seeing those movies and potentially planning to see those movies because they're in the public eye. I'll give it that.
If they hadn't had Titanic, we also wouldn't have gotten the awesomely awkward Celebration by James Cameron.
God, they're all terrible. They're all so bad. I mean, you might get in one show, you might get one speech that is not too short, not too long, respectful, but funny, and that has just enough emotion mm-hmm. that you say to yourself, oh, that was a good speech.
Yeah.
You might be lucky to get one of those per show.
Yeah.
But most of them are awkward.
Yeah.
But I have to wonder if it's because people get up there and they're like, you know, they're having this dialogue internally with themselves, thinking like, everybody is at home and thinking, you know, I don't deserve this. or you know, like, what makes me so special? You know, and I don't have a valid argument for them because I just happen to be lucky, or you know, I happen to get a good role.
You're very generous to these people who are egomaniacs.
The Oscar goes to James Cameron for Titanic.
This is James Cameron's second Academy Award, having picked up tonight's Oscar for Best Editing. Mr. Cameron has written and or directed 9 films, including The Terminator and The Abyss.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a really great time. Every director that ever stood up here had his cast to thank, and I had a killer cast. They really threw down for me. Everybody else that I was going to thank either got an Oscar or a nomination, so they're covered. Except for my fellow producers, Ray Sankini and John Landau. Josh McLaughlin, Rod Lurie, my brother Mike Cameron, who built the deep diving camera system, my lovely wife Linda, our two beautiful children, Dalton and Josephine, and my original producers, my parents who are here tonight, Philip and Shirley Cameron, Mom, Dad, there's no way that I can express to you what I'm feeling right now. My heart is full to bursting. Except to say, I'm the king of the world!
All right, so maybe we should try to choke back the dislike.
Okay.
Should we?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Let's talk about the Oscars.
All right. Well, so much for that.
This is not okay. So this is a criticism, and I don't mean this as someone who just dislikes the Oscars. This is just me, sort of like wondering what they're thinking. In the past, what was it? Maybe 2 years ago.
I think it was 2010.
They started as a attempt to bring more viewers.
Oh, absolutely.
They've extended the number of nominees from 5 to 10.
Well,
in the big categories, right?
Just in Best Picture. And they did in 2010, they expanded it to 10. And then in 2012, they made it anything from 5 to 10.
Okay.
Because they decided, I guess, that it was too hard.
Because, yeah, exactly.
It was too hard to name 10 good movies in a year.
In 2011, they were like, God, we got to pick 10.
Yeah.
Hard enough to pick 5.
And I think...
And not be laughed at.
I can't remember what the 2011 one was.
The winner?
Yeah. Last year was The Artist.
2012?
Yeah. But I can't remember. I mean, technically it was the 2011 awards, but it was held in 2012. So they've done 3 ceremonies now that had... No, maybe it's just 2. Maybe it was just the 2011 and 2012 one.
I don't get it. Why? So, like, their thought is, oh, not enough people are watching the Oscars. Which,
diversify.
God, that already... Who cares?
Right, like, not enough people.
Like,
yeah.
This is a good thing that not not enough people are watching the Oscars. Not enough people are watching us congratulate each other. And I think the problem is that it's not long enough. And what I think we should do is include 5 more movies that the majority of people watching haven't heard of.
They would argue that what they did was widen the playing field so that people would have a more vested interest in it.
But I feel the
complaint going into that up to that point was that I don't have any interest in watching the Oscars because all of the Best Picture nominees are movies that I never saw or have even heard of, right? So they're like, okay, well, we'll broaden it. We'll bring in more movies. And these are some movies that, you know, you probably saw,
right?
Like Toy Story 3,
right?
Or, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean.
That did not.
Dead Man's Chest.
No.
but it was that.
I would cheer that.
That was the thinking behind it.
Yeah.
It was really just about getting more people to watch or getting younger people to watch.
So looking at the nominees for this year, I don't see any, like, there's still a bunch of movies I didn't see for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I think the difference is that Django Unchained would not be in there if it was still at five movies. What they're really doing is they're not.
Should Django Unchained be in there?
Well, I would put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Based on their criteria, what they use to judge, mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Right.
Because they're never looking for something that they're never looking for anything challenging. They're never looking for anything that is groundbreaking. You know, what they want is something that. A fresh face on an old story.
I don't think they aren't looking for stuff that isn't groundbreaking.
I don't think that is near the top of their list of qualifications.
Fair enough.
How about that?
Yeah.
At least, well, they in the nomination process, maybe they are trying to keep that in mind. But I think in the voting process, the majority does not go with something that is experimental or challenging,
mm-hmm.
unless it is also so obvious and browbeating that it.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah,
and you might laugh.
All right,
you might smirk.
Just
you might
did
snort in derision.
I'm already snorting and smirking.
Return of the King.
Snorting and smirking.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, won Best Picture,
mm-hmm.
Best Director.
Mm-hmm.
I think it won like 13 awards that year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big, big winner.
Now, it was a big deal for a couple reasons. One, it's a fantasy film, and genre films do not traditionally, if they're nominated at all, win.
Which is a big if, yeah.
It was groundbreaking in a few ways. One, Peter Jackson was he was practically unknown before those movies.
I think he'd been nominated before.
Had he?
I think so. I think he was nominated for
Heavenly Creatures.
I don't know if he was nominated for that. I feel like he was nominated for something. Well, okay. But he was not. He was not. He wasn't not a, in, of the caliber.
You couldn't say Peter Jackson to someone and have them know who you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Most of the people watching the Oscars would right. not know. Would not have known who Peter Jackson was.
And the degree of execution in those in all three films. Right. The, mm-hmm. the filming for over a year. Principal photography was a over a year long.
Right. It's a significant accomplishment the beyond the, yeah. just your regular movie right. making experience. Yeah.
And I would say it was groundbreaking in various aspects and technical aspects with the, a fully realized digital character, mm-hmm. Gollum, in a way that had not been achieved to that point mm-hmm. where where this character himself gave an Oscar-worthy performance, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time a big budget like that it was given to a relatively untested director, mm-hmm. and he was given sort of carte blanche to be the auteur of the entire film. I mean, everything was done in-house. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like. It was Weta Workshop did every single piece of prop, every costume, every makeup application, everything was done by them. All the costumes was done by, mm-hmm. you see what I'm saying? Everything was in this one vision.
Right.
For in a way that I don't think had been done in that scale.
Yeah, definitely.
So you could say that, this was a time when a groundbreaking film was chosen. Was it groundbreaking in the story sense? Was it a story we'd never seen before? No, it was a story you've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But as a film, if you think about the making of movies,
okay,
and the degree of success, not necessarily financial success, but success in the film itself, the creation of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an achievement that I can't think of something that preceded it to that degree.
Well, I have to disagree there, though, because I think the scale is, I think, what makes it an achievement.
Yeah.
That being honored, in my mind, was not... They were not honoring Return of the King. They were honoring Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
they were honoring the entire project.
I agree with you.
So I have a problem with that award.
Okay.
I mean, I don't dislike that Peter Jackson, Jackson's movies.
I think I know where you're going.
Gets and awarded that.
I don't think I totally disagree with you.
However, strictly speaking, when you are supposed to be judging movies
mm-hmm.
on their own accord.
Mm-hmm.
That again falls into my belief that the standards change on a whim
yes.
year to year
yes.
based on whatever,
Yeah.
I mean, and it may have been, this may be another case of like the Titanic thing where there was this expectation of overwhelming public yeah. support of this movie. And that, the people who are voting on the Oscars they're in the industry, they're movie people. But I
have a problem with that too.
They're also, yeah, so do I. But they are also, if anybody likes Peter Jackson
mm-hmm.
more than a Peter Jackson fan, it's probably somebody who wants to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think if you, there are probably some stinkers in the Oscar pool. The pool of voters, there are probably people like Lindsay Lohan or whoever. And maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe Lindsay Lohan has a really good taste in movies.
Yeah.
Not her own, but others.
Right.
But I think by and large, those people do know quality. Or can sometimes know quality. But I think there's a lot of influence there. And it, maybe it's not necessarily just the public influence, but maybe it's like, you know, there have been, and I never put a whole lot of stock into this, but there's been a lot of rumors over the years that Harvey Weinstein, when he was the head of Miramax, that he was campaigning aggressively in ways that were not necessarily forthcoming, that he was forthcoming about, to push for a best picture win. And there's a lot of belief that it works, because he has this string of best pictures, and they're not exactly great movies. Mm-hmm. Shakespeare in Love is not a great movie,
right?
But it got best picture, and I think what was it up against? Let me go back and look at that. It was up against Saving Private Ryan, Life is Beautiful, which was a foreign movie that I think it was Italian, Thin Red Line. A lot of movies that have endured a lot better than Shakespeare in Love has, you know.
Totally.
So I don't know that it's necessarily public influence, but there's a lot of influence that sways that vote, I think, year to year. And it sways it in such a way that in a way it's good, because you can't predict it, you know. You don't entirely know which way it's gonna go. Although I do believe that if a movie is horribly unbearable to watch in one way or another, it has a good shot at winning an Oscar.
Will Minnie drive her, or will Greg Kinnear, or will she carpool with Robert Duvall?
Will Burt Reynolds wear his gray toupee? Can Julianne Moore keep her pants on all day? It gets awfully hot in that hall. It's Oscar time in Hollywood.
Helena Bonham Carter's up the wazoo.
I'll be mutton chopped, Sir Anthony.
Check out Dustin Hoffman's new do.
Say that Robin Williams as Judd Hirsch.
Judy Dench as downtown Julie Brown.
But most of all, there's a nominee for Best Animated Short Film, La Vielle Dame et les Pigeons.
We don't have footage.
Oh, sorry.
On the Mystery Science Theater 3000, Vice Presidential Command Performance, Academy of Robots Choice Awards, Preview Special.
Let's move on from the Oscars,
because right.
they're dumb. with the Golden Globes, is this voted by the public?
No.
Who votes it is, the
it's
Golden
the
Globes?
International Press Association group.
So weird.
Yeah, the foreign press, yeah.
The Golden Globes are rarely on my radar.
Yeah.
Until recently with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Who did an incredible job hosting.
Yeah. Who he did exactly what I wanted to see done on one of these shows, and he essentially insulted everyone.
Everybody.
Involved.
Yeah. It was more like a roast than an award show. Yeah.
And what was great, what's great about that is like, everyone is, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, that's it. That's the end. He won't be doing any more awards shows.
Yeah.
And he gets invited back. Because they have to. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they don't invite him back, then
they look
wins.
Like they don't have any humor, sense of humor. Yeah. Although that hasn't stopped. And there's a good distinction, too. Where I will give the Golden Globes credit is that, you know, they followed through on that.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the Oscars, they're just like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Was it James Franco and...
Franco and Anne Hathaway?
Which apparently was abysmal. I didn't see it.
Well, that's the thing. It was abysmal if your standards are the traditional showmanship, you know, nonsense that Billy Crystal perfected or whatever. However, if you're looking for somebody who is just, you know, pissing around on stage... The Franco thing was great. I mean, that was ultimately, you could say that that was arguably like the crystallizing moment in Franco's ascension when he like fully transcended his Franco-ness.
Well, he hasn't transcended yet.
Right.
Or he's not done transcending.
No, he's always in transcendency.
Yeah, he's in a constant state of transcendence.
While doing a few other things,
That's so with the Golden Globes, it's kind of the only thing that I can think of. I mean,
The other thing I'll give them credit for, too, is that they have a broader selection of, of categories, and they break things out to kind of, I mean, I don't know if
they
this was the intent,
comedy,
but
best
musical or comedy, best dramatic.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And sometimes that allows, you know, honor to be bestowed on other things.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, it's there's this perception now, and I don't watch the Golden Globes enough to know whether or not it's accurate, but there is definitely a perception that the Golden Globes are just a warm up for the Oscars.
Yeah.
And that I guess since they are equally offensive to to
why do we need them
my
both?
Sensibilities.
Why do we need two shows?
Well, the Oscars, they don't honor TV, but then you do have the Emmys that honor TV. I don't know that I can't speak on the Emmys because
I've never watched
the Emmys. And I wouldn't know what they were honoring anyway. You know, I mean, I watch one show a year and
we're awful at this.
let's talk about award shows that we don't have any knowledge of whatsoever.
And the ones we do know about,
we hate. I have a different direction for you then. Let's talk about alternative.
Well, wait. Let's come on. We gotta get.
All right.
Neither of us watch the Emmys.
Okay.
So we can't talk about it. Sorry.
Golden Globes we hate except for Ricky Gervais.
The Grammys. Yeah. I also don't watch.
Hate. Although I did think it was hilarious a couple years ago when Arcade Fire won,
mm-hmm.
and there was this like. Almost immediate reaction online of like people like upset because they didn't know who the Arcade Fire was, and they were like, "Who's Arcade Fire?"
Oh.
And so like almost immediately there's like, you know, Tumblr accounts that are just like, "Who is Arcade Fire?" And,
wow.
It was really surprising to me too, because it just seemed like even if you weren't a fan, you know, mm-hmm. it's not like they were, you know, not well known, but which I don't know, maybe that says something about more about the Grammy audience than the nominees themselves. But
we sort of hit the main ones, right?
I mean, there are other ones. There's like the People's Choice,
the Nickelodeon's Kids Choice Awards,
which I think is fantastic.
I don't know if I've ever watched it.
I watched it pretty heavily when they first started doing it. I mean, admittedly, I was the right generation for it.
Yeah.
I think I was maybe 9 or 10. No, I was maybe earlier than that. I was like 7 or 8 when they first did it. I still remember. Debbie Gibson was
nice.
The like primary musical guest on that show. The thing I like about the Kids' Choice Awards is that they will, they honor different categories.
Yeah.
You know, it's a broader mix, or at least it was when I watched it. So they would have like television personalities, movie personalities, sports personalities, like activists, you know, like teachers and things like
that.
There was a wider array of stuff. But it was also just in the what they were willing to do on the show was so much more interesting than what you see in the typical succession of talking heads and you know, people in ball gowns. Like they would slime people on the stage,
and they
would have.
Yeah.
If somebody like, I think there was one where they had like Cirque du Soleil people come out and you know do stuff on stage. So you never really know what you're going to get. There's always an element of surprise in there. And I would sort of say that the same is true, to a less satisfying extent, with the Video Music Awards.
Hell, hold it before we get into TV, because that's where I was going next.
Okay.
But the Nickelodeon thing sort of spurred a thought in my mind of, you know, when they're devising the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards, you got a group of showrunners or what have you, right? Producers probably, who are trying to figure out, okay, what should this be? What should we honor? You know, what do kids want to see honored?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they were like, okay, obviously, movies and TV. You know, kids love movies and TV.
Sure.
Sports, that would be good to get sports in there. And then somebody was probably like, we should put teachers in there because, like, you know, even though kids don't care, they should, right? Like, this is the people. Someone was probably like, we should be honoring teachers in some way.
Yeah.
You know, we should instill in these kids, like, look, this person is to be honored.
Yeah.
And what's telling for me of that is like the reality, like that obviously doesn't take hold. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, probably in this room, someone's like, we should do this.
Uh-huh.
Like, we should honor those people, shouldn't we? Right? Because they know that when these kids grow up, all the awards shows aren't going to honor those people.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It is, but that's a really good point, you know, that the show that is targeted at the audience who is considered to have, you know, less taste or, you know, lower standards or whatever, that's the show that's really pushing boundaries.
Well,
and actually looking at like real people.
And
it's
an acknowledgement of the fact that we know that it's absurd.
That it's different too.
Or that it's absurd that we honored
actors
over activists.
Yeah.
We know that. But we do it.
And yet it persists.
So anyway, MTV.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think MTV, well, it makes sense since Nickelodeon was originally an MTV. I think it still is MTV Network. But
I appreciate what they do.
Yeah.
For awards shows.
Yeah, they're willing to go in different directions.
Yeah.
And they have a their attitude about things is never. It's never mocking, but it's never 100% sincere either.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, the Oscar thing, none of it feels sincere.
Right.
You know? Except for, you know, like I said, some of those, you know, speeches or whatever. The people that you've never heard from, the people that you've never heard of give good speeches,
right.
You know? The people who you are familiar with what they're expected to do.
Yeah.
And none of it feels sincere.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, yeah, with the MTV stuff, it's comes somewhere in the middle of those two extremes.
Yeah.
And therefore, I guess, is maybe a little bit more genuine. I don't know.
Well, I like that with the movie awards, the MTV Movie Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Their categories are ridiculous. Like best fight scene.
Yeah.
Best kiss.
But they're the kinds of things that
these are movies.
Good discussions and interesting
and good,
competitions.
Yeah, that's, and you remember movies for these kinds of things.
And I would argue too, they're easier to qualify than saying best picture. Yeah. Best acting.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Exactly.
Those things are so nuanced and have so many different layers. But like, I mean, okay, best kiss. There are, 50-100 kisses in movies every year. That's ground that you can actually
get in there
make
and
a really good assessment of. Yeah. Yeah, spot on.
The VMAs, the Video Music Awards, was for a time like something not to be missed, because things could happen in the VMAs, you know, crazy stuff could happen.
Yeah.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
What's great about this, there's a few things that are great about this situation. One is that Kanye West does a thing that Kanye West can do. You know what I mean? Like, he gets up and interrupts Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
It's probably scared out of her mind. So that in itself is really funny.
Yeah.
What is also really funny is that he was offended that Beyonce didn't get an MTV Video Music Award.
Yeah.
If he did that in the Grammys, I'd almost understand it.
Yeah.
You know, if he was like, she deserves a Grammy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, fair enough. Like, I could see why you'd be passionate about someone getting a Grammy.
Right, yeah. But this is the MTV
Video Music Awards.
Yeah.
It's not even the MTV Music Awards.
Right.
It's the video. So this is an award show
for videos
music
that they don't
videos.
Even air.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I read much later that there are some who think that was all staged.
Oh yeah, I totally believe
that it was a play for all three artists to get more sales, because everyone comes out of that ahead.
Getting attention. Kanye, I don't even know that I would assume that it's that there was any collusion on it. I would just, well, you know, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just something that, that came up backstage and like somebody was like, hey, we need it, you know, some sort of, or maybe it was planned, but you know.
Well, the guess is that it was their, basically their PR agencies kind of working together.
I can believe
that. And that some people are in on it, some people aren't. Like Taylor Swift, apparently, you know, the thought is she wasn't actually in on it.
Right.
So she would look surprised, you know, genuinely surprise. But what it works for all three of those artists. Like Kanye, it works for Kanye West,
right?
Because he looks like a rebel and he looks like, you know, someone who's against the system.
Yeah.
Which his fan base is really going to like.
Sure.
You know, it works for Taylor Swift because she looks like a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like she's under attack, which her fan base is really going to like.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks great for Beyonce because she gets recognition for an award she did not win. But she still kind of wins, right?
Yeah.
Because she's proclaimed as having should have won.
Right, Kanye said so.
And who knows how many people are agreeing with Kanye West, right? And she gets to look totally like...
She's completely innocent.
Yeah.
She didn't have any involvement in it whatsoever.
And she can come later and be like, oh, that was, you know, I can't believe he did that. And Taylor, you know, totally deserves that award.
Yeah.
And so all three of them come off.
I appreciate the support, but Taylor,
they all come off like do it like way better than they were.
Well, and the thing, the reason that I have no problem believing that is that MTV also benefits from it too.
Because absolutely.
That, like, that's a pattern year after year of there being some sort of controversy or some outburst or something happening or something going wrong, allegedly going wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's always been a hallmark of their shows. There's always been some sort of ridiculous spectacle to them. And I think somewhere around like the end of the 90s and into the 2000s, they sort of moved away from having like, some, you know, like a host like Howard Stern or somebody who you know, people are going to come in just to watch that and going to this more like stunt.
Yeah.
This PR
didn't
stunt.
Howard Stern come in, like, didn't he like sail?
He was
down?
Fart Man.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Butt
fart
Man
or
something.
Or Butt Man.
Yeah, yeah. And he flew in.
Was it at the VMAs that Sinead O'Connor tore up the Pope?
That was Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She did something at the VMAs.
She might have.
She's good. I mean, if you want some kind of controversy, get her on your awards show. Oh, Fiona Apple had a moment, didn't she, at the VMAs?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Where she sort of like, what's great or what can be really fun for any awards show is when somebody like Sean Penn or like Sinead O'Connor who... is, you know, seemingly bereft of a sense of humor can get a chance to speak, to be heard for a moment, you know, with a captive audience and chide everyone. I love it, man. It's so great. And everyone feels uncomfortable.
Yes.
And like, I think Fiona Apple, I don't know if it was the VMAs, but at some point she kind of, had this diatribe about Native Americans, I think, where she got
yes, her, it was 97. She broke from acceptance speech rules.
Yeah, they're rules.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to talk about Native Americans. Is that like rule number 7?
I don't know what the rules are. I'm just looking at this now, and it says 1997 Fiona Apple's.
Is it the VMAs?
Yeah. In 99, Lil Kim, had an outfit.
Oh yeah, that was a big deal.
She wore like a basically nude outfit.
Right, right.
2003, Madonna kissed Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera.
That was just. I mean, okay, here's the thing. I remember that, and I remember just being grossed out by it. Not by the act. You know, a girl kissing a girl doesn't necessarily gross me out.
Right.
What grossed me out was the, like...
The pomp behind it?
Well, the thought that this would be...
Oh, yeah.
Offensive or... You know, like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
this will be scandalous.
Oh my.
So we should do it for that reason. Yeah.
She kissed them both. And that's the thing. Yeah. They were probably like, oh, Madonna, you should kiss Britney. That'll blow people's minds. And be like, well, that's not really going to blow anyone's mind. What if she kissed Christina too?
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Do it.
They're not going to believe what they're seeing. They're going to watch a gross kiss on stage.
Everybody at MTV just snorts like thousands of miles of cocaine. And yes. Yeah.
And maybe like that year on the movie awards, they won Worst Kiss or something.
Yeah. it's quite possible. Yeah.
There was at the, it was, I think it was the movie awards when Jim Carrey did, like he was in character for the whole thing. He had made up this like sort of hippie character that he never broke from, and he made some especially lewd comments when he accepted his
and offended people.
And it was apparently at the time he was gearing up to do the Andy Kaufman movie.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he was,
and so he was basically like,
basically as Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, character. He was doing as Andy Kaufman would do, where he would be a character, not break from character,
right,
and be somewhat offensive in that character, you know. And it looking back on it, you know, it's kind of, it's not nearly as interesting as it may have seemed at the time. But that's the thing, those MTV awards, they sort of, they hope for that kind of thing to happen.
Oh yeah.
You know, but I haven't watched either of them. I mean, for years, mainly because I don't have cable anymore, but, and also because I don't know that I'd recognize.
Yeah, I don't know who they're talking about. Yeah.
But I did. I've always looked forward. And with the VMAs, I always really looked forward to the performances even.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because a lot of times it was more than just them on stage playing. There was usually some attention put to the show.
The production.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they bring in an orchestra.
Or they do some kind of like, you know, duo.
Yeah,
one of the funniest ones that I remember was one year, I guess, Puff Daddy had, or P. Diddy.
Whatever he was.
He was Puff Daddy then, I think. He did, you know, he had had a single after Notorious B.I.G. had died where he had sampled Sting, Every Breath You Take.
Mm-hmm.
And so they performed it on, I guess, the VMAs. Together, like this was the first time, you know, obviously with the studio version, he had just sampled the Sting song,
right?
Or the, is it Police?
Or is it Sting? It's the Police, Every Breath You Take, yeah.
So in this performance, Sting was performing. He was there. Mm-hmm. He was doing his part, and he looked incredibly uncomfortable and sort of like he was made to do it. Do you know what I mean? It was, and I feel like he was like standing out front, like just standing rigidly, kind of awkwardly, and Puff Daddy was in the back kind of doing whatever he does. And another great pair up that was pretty interesting actually was Elton John and Eminem.
Oh yeah.
And they performed it might have been Stan, the song Stan, because I think that has a piano part. And maybe Elton John did the part that the Dido song that was sampled for that.
Interesting.
So I mean, those are award shows I can watch.
Yeah. They're not any more necessarily a legit representation of...
No, but they don't purport to be.
Yeah, that's the distinction. That's what makes it different. They're not looking for your respect. They're just trying to entertain you.
Could we have an awards show that is like everything?
Wow.
Like best of...
Best of everything?
Each year, right?
Isn't that what the archive is? It's just one long award show. Oh, my God.
but just like... Well, there'd be one award. There'd be one award, and the award is best.
Okay.
And everything is in contention. Everything that has happened in the span of a year, let's say.
Okay.
So it's the annual best award.
Okay.
And it's the award, let's say, of 2012... And everyone's gathered, you know, for the ceremony, and the host comes out, and you know, ha ha ha, boy, it was really hard to get here. And they do show some kind of clip, you know, where he goes and does crazy stuff, right?
Right.
Oh boy. And then like, and now let me introduce the first presenters, and you know, whoever they are, come out. And they're like, the first and only award tonight is under the category of best. And here are the nominees.
And then they just spend the next 3 hours going through all the nominees.
Yeah. And only one wins.
I like
it.
It
could be anything.
It
could be like, and you could submit anything. Like, you'd be like, I think this is the best sandwich ever made.
That,
like, I made the best. This, the best thing to happen in the 2012 was this sandwich.
I love this idea. I love it. I think it's great.
So then you'd be like,
ever fly, but I love it.
You know, they're going through the nominees, you know, for best. John Dedeke's egg salad sandwich. For best. That morning, Drew put his socks on and they were still warm from the dryer. For best.
It's just the same two presenters up there.
Yeah. For 3 hours. And the winner is.
And the best
and the award is. For best is goes to. Be great.
Maybe we should work on that. Maybe we should do that show.
We'll work on it.
All right.
Yeah. But the award for best ending to an awards show podcast goes to.